Good morning and welcome back to the second hour of Love Babs Love Talk. I'm glad you are tuning in and joining me, listening to me on 103.5 WNHH. And we're live streaming from the New Haven Independent, Facebook, X, and YouTube. So today I'm delighted because I don't know much about this organization, this theater group, New Haven Theater Company. And I know Dina Nicole Blifford. But I don't know Marty Tucker. So unmute yourselves and tell me about this theater, what y'all do, what's the mission. And you just wrapped a production, Cry It Out. And I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to see it.
You can see it on Saturday, Beth.
Oh, wait. It's still here?
Yes. So amazing news that we got these lovely reviews. And the second week sold out before the first weekend, and we came together as a company and a cast and decided to extend it for two more performances. So the 8th and the 9th, Eric or Marty, correct me if I'm wrong, that Friday is sold out, correct?
Friday is sold out, and okay. Saturday there are 6 tickets left.
All right, give me two. Hold two.
Okay, we got you, Babs. We got you.
Hold two.
So yeah, hey. So it's fantastic. We're so thrilled that it's had such a great reception because it's been such a amazing and fun process for all of us. And so a little about New Haven Theater Company. I wish we had an older member because I've been participating with them since I think 2014 was when we moved into the English Building Market owned by Carol and Robert Orr, which is amazing.
I know this building. This is a great building.
Amazing. If you like anything, vintage clothes, vintage anything, she has curated the most amazing things. So we started renting a space from Carol in the back. And the first show we did there was Our Town. And we've been doing like 2 to 3 shows ever since that year and kind of grown into the space and put a deck down. And New Haven Theater Company came out of just a bunch of theater professionals. A bunch of us used to work at Long Wharf, and we wanted an outlet to do stuff on our own. Cause I think a lot of people that wind up in theater start as performers and then are like, mm-hmm. Oh, I need a solid paycheck. Like me, I was like, oh, I can work in administration and like do all this fun stuff. So we all started doing shows, and kind of our mission is wrapped around doing things that we're passionate about, right? Mm-hmm. We all have lives, we have families and kids and parents, and if we're going to do something and put in the time and the effort and the energy, the creative energy, we want to do something that we love personally and that we always hope that our audiences enjoy and get something from. So this show is very much in that same vein, because I have a 7-year-old and haven't been able to like fully participate in years and years and years. And we made it work. Jenny Schock, who's in the show, she lives an hour away, so there's a huge commute for her. So we did like an abbreviated rehearsal schedule where we've been rehearsing for how many months? Like 3 months.
Yeah, but on a very limited scale each week. We tried to make the rehearsals really efficient so that they'd be very useful for the actors, but not be a big burden on them. And that has worked out really, really well. The actors have done their work. It's a very talented cast. I'm so blessed. They make me look good as the director because they're so good.
Are you, Marty, are you with New Haven Theater Company, or they hired you to come on to do this particular production?
No, I'm with the company. And usually what happens is every year we read a lot of scripts and see if anything, you know, sparks our interest. And when I read this script, 3 days after I read it, I was still thinking about it. I was still laughing at it, actually. The role Dina plays, and she's brilliant. She is so funny.
I did not know she was an actor.
Oh, man. Is she
Most people don't.
Wonderful. She swears a lot in the show, so just be aware.
Oh, that's my kind of woman. I like that.
Then Dina, and she plays the role of Lena Her name is Dina, and she plays Lena. I mean, it's meant to be. But I kept thinking about the show 3 days after I read it, not only laughing at the beginning, but then thinking about the complexity of what the characters are going through. There are three young moms who've just had babies within the last, you know, 12 or 14 weeks. And they're, you know, they're desperate for human contact and to figure out whether they're doing a good job. And no, there's no manual. When you get that baby home, there's no manual that says, do this, this, and this. You're just suddenly have a baby. And so it's brilliantly funny. It's also very poignant. It's also very thought-provoking. And the cast is really, like I said, doing a great job with it.
So, Marty, I mean, this is a woman's story, right? Because every woman that I know that has children knows this whole thing. You leave a job to have a baby, and you're immediately isolated. And if you don't connect with other mommies, you're really on your own. Did you learn anything? Like, did you have some awareness of this? Because I'm always, and how, as a man, do you get to tackle this? Like, how much grace do they give you for direction? And how much do you come directing this with some understanding?
Sure. Well, I'm a dad, and that's, you know, the parent struggle and the parent, you know, figuring out what to do is for both men and women. You know, I watched my wife and I participated in how we were going to make those choices. Was my wife going to go back to work? What would it look like if she didn't? Did she want to? Could we afford it? Were we able to? So I came in with that background and that understanding. And then I let the actresses really, I think Dina will agree, I let the actresses really bring it to life. I directed the theater part of it. They brought the humanity of the situation for the women to life. So I think it went okay. Dina may disagree with me, but I think I was able to let them bring the womanhood to it. And I made sure that the it was funny and it moved along and it was understandable.
So Dina, when you take on this kind of work, mm-hmm. and you're a mom, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, do you bring some authenticity to this? Like, did it ring true on a lot of levels? Did you say, no mother would do this? Or yes, this is what moms would do.
Ringing true is an understatement. It's like having your head stuck in a bell tower. It's like, so Molly Smith Metzler is the playwright and she's amazing. I think she writes for Madam Secretary, and she's written for like Orange is New Black. So she is like a amazing, amazing writer. And she's a playwright also, but in the ways that she honed in and like nailed so many of the such specificity of early parenthood. And just, I mean, even we did some videos for social media. And I said that even 7 years later, now my son is seven, it's still the same feelings. And the interesting thing you asked about, you know, Marty directing it as a man, but there's a father role in it too. Ruben Ortiz.
Yay, we love Ruben Ortiz.
We love.
I watched him last night on The Equalizer. I saw him and I was like,
I know. I need to go and like find it so I can watch him and cheer him on. And then Melissa Anderson rounds out our cast. They're a married couple, but you never see them on stage at the same time, which is interesting. But Ruben's character brings the male perspective, but so three out of the four of us in the show are parents. But I think you can apply it to any type of caregiving situation, right? Parenthood is a very specific type of time in someone's life. But one of our actresses doesn't have kids, but she would ask us about like the specifics about like breastfeeding, you know, like how do you like take the shirt up and like how do you kind of hold a baby? And so like those were the things that she just needed like a little bit of like specific information on, but the core of it, the emotion of it, it's there, because I think everyone probably has some sort of relevant situation that they can apply to the emotional like part of it. But for me, I mean, I say things Marty laughs at me all the time because he's like, wow, that was really a stretch of me casting you for this role, because I say things as me and it sounds just like Lena, swearing and everything, usually, unfortunately. But just, she talks about a nose Frida, and I, do you know what that is?
No.
So a nose Frida is where the mother or the father takes a tube and sucks the snot out of the baby's nose.
Oh my God, I used to have one of those. I used to have the
aspirator.
The little bulb,
yeah,
right?
Yes.
Well, there's apparently one that you can use and you can actually suck it out.
Oh,
and,
no.
And
God,
the other character thinks it's the greatest thing in the history of the universe. And Dina's character goes, no, 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 hard pass. No, that's disgusting.
But Dina, as a parent, loves the nose Frida because the nose Frida is like God's gift to childhood, like, you know, congestion. So no, it's amazing. But I was literally having a conversation with a coworker the other day who has like a 5-month-old, and we were having a conversation at work about a nose Frida. And I was like, I just started like laughing. She's like, what's so funny? I was like, it's like that art imitating life, life imitating art, just like cycle was so funny. So that's what I mean. It is. It's really, really grounded in she just nailed it. She just wrote a script. And to Marty's point too, it's not just about parenthood. It's about like socioeconomic standing and where people are coming from and how things are difficult for people in different ways, right? If you have money, if you don't have money, like, how are you going back to work? Are you not going back to work? Those are all loaded things. And you know, you get judged for everything. And like, as a parent, it's like, you're never doing anything right. So,
and so do you think this is why the play is resonating with people in such a way? Cause you're getting good reviews. People are buzzing about this thing. Is it, I mean, it just sounds like it speaks to people's everyday practical lives in a way that, you know, a lot of things don't sometimes.
Yeah.
I also just think even, you know, so as in any theater, some of our crowd is on the older side. And for those folks, I think they just, it's very funny for the first 45 minutes. And the last 45 minutes, you go, wow, oh my gosh, I hadn't thought of that. I hadn't, you know, there's one character who you just love to hate for the first half of the play. And then all of a sudden, in one moment, she reveals something about herself and you have an understanding of her, and it's completely different. So I do think that it's not just the parenthood aspect, but I think it's just a really well-written, funny, thoughtful, thought-provoking play. And so people are buzzing about it. They're telling their friends, you need to go see it. So like that, for when we extended the run to a Friday and Saturday, within 4 days, the Friday was sold out. And listen, we're not in a 40,000 seat Taylor Swift arena. Let's be honest. We're in a nice, small, intimate house in New Haven, but it's selling really well. And I think people are just thinking it's a really great thing. Great way to spend a Saturday night.
I think so. And I've never come to a production, although I am aware of who you all are, but I'm interested in the process of, how many times a year do you think you want to put on plays? Does it change every year, or you just do stuff that you like? Like, oh, you know what? This year we'll do two. Next year we'll do three or whatever.
Usually it's three. That's the goal. This year there was an unfortunate incident where the person who was directing the first play was in a bicycle accident and was unable to continue and to finish out directing. So we did cancel the first one this year. So this is actually our first show of the year. But traditionally we do a fall, something in the fall, something in the winter, and then we will be doing something in the spring as well.
Okay. Okay. Can you tease what that is or no?
Go ahead.
Sure. So I need to look it up because I've been a little preoccupied. I know the title, it's called Webster's Bitch.
Yes.
Sorry.
Is it like a dictionary kind of thing? Yeah. Or all right.
Yeah, about language.
Okay.
So I will have to find the playwright for you. We've
been so immersed in Try It Out that I haven't even looked at it. And I'm not involved in it, but although, same. You know, it's funny, one of the reviews said, you're likely to see the person who was the lead in the last play selling tickets at the front door because it's a small company. We're a repertory company, so we all work together. So the people working backstage on Cry It Out, they're all members of the company who have been in shows, who have directed shows. It's just this group of people who want to put on theater and want to bring theater to New Haven at a really decent cost. It's $20 a ticket. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, when you're looking at there's a show I want to see in New York and the tickets start at $280. You know, we're trying to do something in New Haven that keeps culture alive in downtown New Haven and also is affordable for folks so that's not going to break their bank to, you know, maybe they can even actually have dinner beforehand and then come see the show.
I like that. So, you know, there's a lot of conversation about theater and how theater is moving in the world and how theater will sustain itself. I mean, do you have those conversations? I mean, y'all are all actors and theatrical people. So you've heard and been a part of these conversations that some of Broadway is feeling, like Long Wharf Theater is feeling, the Schubert is feeling, everybody's feeling this, you know, this economic pinch on top of equity and inclusion kinds of conversations. Theater is going through a change on a lot of levels. I mean, are you feeling the push and pull of that?
I think fortunately for New Haven Theater Company, again, we're a small house. We've got a very dedicated following. So we specifically are not feeling it, but we are feeling it in the wider sense. You know, theaters around the country are, you know, famous regional theaters are switching to doing two plays a year as opposed to doing eight plays a year. You know, coming out of the pandemic, it's almost like I relate it to church. You know, I'm a church guy. And so there are people who we don't see at church for 6 months. And then I run into them at Stop and Shop and I say, hey, we haven't seen you. And they said, yeah, we just got out of the habit. Like you just got out of the habit of doing that. And I feel like that's a little bit what's happened out of the pandemic is people have gotten out of the habit of going to live theater. And that's scary for us who believe theater is a reflection of society, is an important aspect of society, to see that that's happening. I love that Long Wharf is trying something totally different now. You know, they're doing site-specific theater. That's exciting. Like they're doing a great job. And so, you know, I'm sure Dina can chime in too, but it is a bit scary as somebody who teaches young actors to think that their opportunities are getting smaller and dwindling. So hopefully we can revive that.
I mean, I think, yes. I mean, I'll agree with Eric, with Marty on that, is that we're insulated by it primarily due to the fact that we don't have really high overhead, right? We don't, we pay rent to our space, but you know, we pay our very meager production costs. We don't pay none of us are paid. It is a fully volunteer based organization. But then when you move into something like Long Wharf, where I used to work, it's, you know, it's very expensive. And I don't think people understand like the price of making something so amazing, which I'm very proud also, just as Marty is, that they're trying something new. They're like, the old model doesn't work. And we are going to try something different and not only try something different, move into the model that makes it more about, you know, people are out of practice, but this model is bringing different people into the theater. Mm-hmm. So that I love to see that. That's personally, I love to see that. But
if I could jump in, there's a theater company in Connecticut down in the Rowayton area. And they have traditionally in the past done summer Shakespeare productions where they've had a full professional equity company. Equity is the actors union. And at this point, they're doing two equity actors and the rest are local community theater folks because they just couldn't make ends meet the other way. And so, yeah, there's a change happening and the theater community has a choice. We, you know, you either die out or you adapt and change and figure something new out and make it so incredibly good that people have to come see it and you get people re-excited about it. So.
Oh, I love that. So, how long have y'all been in it since 2014? Or a little longer than that?
I think it was 2013 or 14. I can't remember the year. It was before I got married, but so New Haven Theater Company has existed for over 20 years in a different way. They actually used to do, there was a, Jenny Schuck, who's in the show. There used to be a, improv, like, yep, section.
That's how I joined.
Yeah. So there was a little regicides, like, to shout out Broken Umbrella Theater Company. Like, they did, and I know they did site specific improv. They also did, site specific theater. Like, the first show I saw was, Speed the Plow at some vacant space, like, on Crown Street.
Oh, yeah. I did
for a couple months, and it was like, cool, it's a good show.
I did a play at New Haven Theater Company called Radio Plays, and Talk Radio it was called. And we did it in an old radio studio right across from the Schubert Theater, so the audience was literally in a radio studio. So we used to do things like that until we found the home with Robert and Carol Orr.
Okay. So that's good. I love when a theater can find a place where it can, like, grow itself and develop, you know. Yeah. And so everybody, as a part of this, are volunteers. Everybody rotates duties and all this kind of stuff. And so when do y'all take the time to, like, look at new plays, and how do you do that as a group?
That's usually over the summer. We have some meetings, and first of all, we say, does anybody have something they're excited about? Is there a play that you have that you're really excited about directing? And you offer it up to the group, and everybody reads it. We also have Steve Scarpa is somebody who's worked at Long Wharf, and he works at Wesleyan, and Steve is he's just a reader of plays. So he throws out dozens of plays every year as suggestions. And again, we wait for one that really is going to excite us, that's really going to spark us, because if that happens, then it's driven. Then the play goes and it's driven. If it's something you read and you're like, well, I have to direct this, you know, if you're a professional director and you're getting paid for it, you have to find a way to get excited about it. In this case, we don't do that. So it's over the summer. We'll each read. I read, I think, 8 plays or 9 plays.
Wow.
And then this one was the one that stuck with me that I just thought I really, really want to direct it. However, I did say the only way I would direct it is if Dina was available to play Lena. She's just so brilliantly funny. Babs, I hope you do get to see it on Saturday.
I'm coming Saturday. Hold my tickets. I told you.
We will. But
I can't wait to hear you laughing in the audience.
She is so funny in it. I mean, people just crack up through the whole thing until all of a sudden some tough things happen for her character, and all of a sudden people are crying with her as opposed to laughing with her. So, but yeah, that's it. It's usually over the summer. Would you say that's correct, Dina?
Yeah, and we used to kind of, it was a little more like fly by the seat of our pants, but now again, since everyone's kind of like, we have more members with families and like more obligations, so we everyone reads them, and then if you want to like either produce or direct the project, you put together
a proposal
for the show to say like, all right, this is these are cast members that I want from that I think we can cast from the company, and then if we need to cast outside of the company, we need to hold auditions. Like this is what we're looking at for dates. So like we try to be as professional about it as possible. You know, we have marketing teams. J. Kevin Smith, like, honestly has like killed it with the show. He is our producer and has done all the marketing for it. And it's been, like I said, it's a group effort. Like everyone has to come together to make it work. And we've really felt the love on this. We do every time, but this one, I don't know. There's just, this one's been really, really, really special, and everyone has just been like very supportive. So it's been great.
So Dina, if this is like a repertoire kind of vibe, do you get to direct? Yeah. Do you have interest in directing?
I love to direct. It's just, honestly, for me, it's more of a commitment than performing. It's because it's a different type of commit, especially with the New Haven Theater Company, because you wind up kind of like doing a lot, like I do, like set design and costume is like, because we don't have like dedicated people to do that. You kind of like wind up doing all that. Like Marty went out and bought us there's a playscape, like a little plastic playscape in the set. I mean, we had like a whole like 20 email conversation about like, just because you have to like be able to sit on it and it has to support two adults, which it's not supposed to do.
Which playscape do you think you would own? And yeah, we went back and forth, and then we supported it underneath. But it's again, everybody pitches in. There's no hierarchy at New Haven Theater Company.
No.
It's all for one. And, you know, when we're cleaning, listen, when we're doing the cleanup, getting ready to open the show, you know, the director's cleaning the toilets for the audience. And we just all do it together because yeah, we all love theater and we all love the experience.
So this must be a great deal of satisfaction to get this good press around this particular play and get the opportunity to extend it. Because I know that's no easy thing, because y'all are working people outside of this. And so you've got to mesh everybody's schedule, and you've got to like make decisions about, can we do this two more nights, you know, and what does that look like?
Yeah.
It is a big conversation to do it, you know, and it seems like, oh, it's just a Friday and Saturday night, but it's like, you still have to like live in that headspace. Like I listened to my recording of the script like all week back and forth to work. So it's just like, kind of like, you don't let it go just yet. And just, you know, we're thrilled. We're so excited. Like I think Melissa Anderson, she came in the other day. She's like, I'm really glad this isn't our last weekend. And I think all of us were very much in agreement that it wasn't. But you know, it's tiring. Like you said, we all work and people have family obligations and all sorts of other things that they do. And it's just, but I honestly, about like full disclosure, like this was something that again, the last 7 years, I haven't really had the opportunity to like dig into something. I've done White Rabbit, Red Rabbit that we did a few months ago. That was an amazing experience, but it, you know, it was one night. So that was like easy, like in and out. But to do a fully realized production and to like undertake that, and my husband has been incredibly supportive and my son has been great, but the being able to do this for me, because this is like my thing, right? This is my hobby. This is like what I love to do outside of work and everything. And I forgot how much I loved it. And I forgot how much I needed it as like for me. And that's one of the things about the show, is like, it talks about like, how do you move from being you pre-child into like you as a child? Like how does that happen? And how do you keep yourself happy and your partner happy and make a happy child? Like that's heavy stuff. And I said, now I'm 7 years out and I'm still like, oh, hopefully doing theater like once a year, I'm going to like figure it out. So
this is very real for you. Like this play is like very, very real.
It's so real. It's so real. Yeah. I mean, there's been stuff that happens in the show too. And we're just like, oh my God, that's like, I've had that conversation with my partner. It's crazy. So.
All right, so you're extending the run for two more days at the end of this week, and then it's over, and then so you have some downtime before you start the next production, or you go right into it.
Neither of us are involved in the next one. I know they've had auditions. They've cast it. They're going to get ready to go. So yeah, pretty much it'll be like, we'll take our set down and they'll jump in and start getting ready. And then I'm sure you can find Dina or I selling wine or tickets or ushering one of the nights of that show. Cause again, it's all for one. We all chip in.
Oh, I love it. How big is this? How big is this New Haven Theater Company?
15?
I think it's 15 people.
We're 15.
That's a small, mighty group.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it's great. We're the nice part, as I've said, is that there's no egos, which is hard in theater. It's hard to find, but there's really no egos. These are all people who just want to get together and do theater. You know, I know it's an old corny thing, but hey, I've got a barn. Let's do a show.
That sounds like summer stock.
Yeah, exactly. But I will say, you know, you talked about the reviews. The best review I heard came from my wife. My wife is a big theater critic, man. When we go see something, man, it better be really good. Otherwise, because she's got a book at home and a bed that she wants to be in at 9:30. And so when she saw it, she came out and she goes, everything about that was completely professional.
Good.
Or a community theater charging $20 for people, that's the best compliment I got, was my wife saying, oh yeah, that was really, really good, really strong and really professional. So we try to have fun, but we try to do a really good show, and we care about it. We care about the product.
Oh, I love it. And adding Ruben Ortiz, because he's not part of the New Haven Theater Company. So did he audition, or did y'all think, I think we want him to be in this thing? Like, how does he fit into all of this?
Well, a little of both. We love Broken Umbrella. We love collective conscious theater. We love all of the groups. And we didn't have somebody in our company that really fit this particular role. There just wasn't a guy that fit the role in my vision of it. So we did open it up for auditions, but I contacted both of those theater companies and said, hey, if you have anybody that might be interested, please let me know. I auditioned a few people, but the second I auditioned Ruben, there was just something genuine about him. And he has a very childlike quality to him. And yet you can believe he's a professional who owns his company, but there's this childlike wonder about him that I thought was perfect for the role. So I pretty much, when he finished his audition, the last word he said, I thought, well, he's cast. but I didn't tell him. I didn't tell him right away. I let him sweat it out for 24 hours. And then I called him and I said, we'd really, really love to have you participate. And it's been great. His folks from Broken Umbrella have come see our show and been very supportive. We'll do the same for them. And just, we loved supporting all of the local theaters.
Yes.
And I think I would love to like reiterate that it's, that's been a thing too. I've been out of my theater community for a while. And yes, people from Long Wharf, from Collective Consciousness, Broken Umbrella, like also let's lift them up too, because specifically Broken Umbrella and Collective Consciousness, because they're doing a very similar thing, right? I know I love that Collective Consciousness pays, I think they pay designers and performers. But like, I have seen shows there that rival any show I have ever seen anywhere, both companies. And it's like, to have that, I think we were talking about that after a show the other day, to have that mix. I think Brian Slattery pointed out that like, it's, I don't know if it was Brian or Kathy CPO, but like said that, you know, it's hard here because like you have Broadway so close, you have Yale Rep, you have Long Wharf, you have Hartford Stage. And then you have these little companies that are kind of like pushing out this really great. So it's like, there's this amazing artistic mix, and you can go see kind of anything at any price point and like have this great evening and this great experience. So, I mean, it's just like the artists that work in New Haven are just unbelievable. And we're so lucky to be a part of that mix. It's really,
I love it. Well, I'm so glad that the show has extended itself so I get to see it. I'm so glad that y'all could come on this morning and to talk about this more. And then I get a bit more familiar with the New Haven Theater Company, because I love, you know, Dina, I love theater. I'm on the board of Long Wharf Theater. I go to a lot of Collective Consciousness stuff because they're my friends. I'm part of the Broken Umbrella folks, you know, so I just like being around. Even if I don't perform, I like being in the spaces with the creatives, because y'all are the real revolutionaries in this world, and you give us voice to whatever the moment is, and we need that. We just need it. So I can't
wait to meet you on Saturday, Babs.
I can't wait to meet you too.
I'm so excited you're coming.
And I'm glad you have wine. I'll bring my dollars so I could buy wine.
Fine. We have found that the best shows are when the audience all buys wine on the way in. I don't know. I don't understand the correlation, but it seems to make them laugh a lot louder.
It's very relaxed. It's like a little bit of sophistication and a little coolness to like, I'm going to drink my little wine. I'm going to watch a good show. I'm going to be with like-minded people and it's going to be so chill. So yeah, so I can't wait to see this. I can't wait to laugh out loud. I can't wait to identify. I can't wait to do all those things and to see my friend Ruben and to see Dina do their thing. So,
oh, thanks for having us on, Babs. This is great.
Thank you so much. And don't be strangers. Like the next production, no. Come we'll on, you know. Ahead of time so we can like talk it up, right? Like,
yeah. Not last minute, like, oh, you're done doing the show. That's like,
I know. I was like, oh, how are we gonna talk about it? I have to talk about the show. Nobody's going to see it now because it's done. But now this is great. Now people can be like, okay, they got four more tickets left because I got two. So there's four left. So if you need to see this, this might be your last shot. So, all right. Thank you all right, so
well,
much.
Thank you, Babs. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to y'all. Enjoy the rest of this week. I'll see y'all on Saturday.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. Okay, Harry Droz, play us out. Thank you all so much. And y'all behave. I'll see y'all tomorrow.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.